What's up, Rams fans, and welcome to another episode of the Rams Wire podcast. As always, I'm your host, Cameron DeSilva. You can follow us on Twitter at the Rams Wire, and you can follow me on Twitter at Cam DeSilva. As always, we post everything at theramswire.usatoday.com. We've got draft analysis, reactions to the trades that the Rams have made, the Dominican Sue signing. So for all the latest, you could check out our website and follow us there as always. And we're also on Facebook at the Rams Wire. So a lot of ways to catch up on all the news that's happened in the past couple weeks, but I'll do my best to kind of react to all of the news that we've seen happen and all of the latest outside of around the NFL and with the Rams specifically. So we'll just start off with the Brandon Cooks trade, which came as a little bit of a surprise last week. I didn't really see wide receiver as a huge need for the Rams, but they obviously felt that after losing Sammy Watkins, they needed to replace him with a big play weapon who can stretch the field and make big plays from anywhere on offense, whether it's out of the backfield in the slot, lining up as a boundary receiver. So Cooks is a guy who can do a lot of things. Obviously, Sean McVay likes him a lot. He talked about wanting to go after him last year. The Rams actually negotiated a deal with the Saints when the Saints still had Cooks before trading him to the Patriots. They offered Trumaine Johnson. They even tried to trade a second rounder for Johnson. So there were negotiations between the Saints and the Rams last year, but the Patriots having a first-round pick, obviously the Saints weren't going to turn that down, and it turned out to be the better offer of the two. So Sean McVay talked a lot about how he likes Cooks' game. He sees him as a versatile weapon on offense. He can play in the slot. He's going to play X receiver primarily, which is where Watkins did. That's on the left side of the offensive formation, right up against the line of scrimmage. So he's going to see press coverage. He's going to see some bump and run. But it is a good spot for him, and it does bode well for Jared Goff and the Rams offense as a whole. So Cooks, he comes with, obviously, with a one-year contract. He's currently set to play on the fifth-year option that the Patriots exercised last year. So that's going to be about $8.45 million or $8.5 million if you round up on the Rams salary cap next year. That's not a huge price to pay for someone who they probably expect to be a number one receiver, just as they did with Watkins last year. But it does take another chunk out of the salary cap. When you have a draft class to sign, now it's going to be a little bit cheaper because they don't have a first round pick, but it's gonna put a dent in the salary cap. They currently have the least amount of money to spend right now. I'll get to that a little bit later, but they're not in a great situation financially. Next year, obviously, you've heard a lot about how much space they have and how they have almost the most cap space in the NFL. But that's going to change when you factor in Todd Gurley's fifth-year option and things like that. So obviously, they're in a good situation for years moving forward. But as of right now, it's going to be difficult to get Aaron Donald under the salary cap. Again, I'll get to that more in depth a little bit later, but focusing on Cooks, he does have good numbers. He's a productive receiver who has overcome injury concerns that happened early in his career. He's played 16 games in each of the past 3 years. Every season, he's had 1,000 yards since 2015. That's with the Saints and with the Patriots, two obviously pass-heavy offenses with Drew Brees and Tom Brady, but he's a really productive receiver, and the most telling stat of all is that only he and Antonio Brown, they're the only receivers in the NFL with at least 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns in each of the past 3 years. So obviously Cooks isn't Antonio Brown. He's not as physical. He's not as reliable with his hands and all of that. He doesn't match up with Antonio Brown at all. But the fact that they are the only two receivers to put up those numbers is pretty telling of how productive he's been at the highest level in the NFL. That might make you wonder why he's been traded twice in the past 2 years, but it's definitely not a character concern. McVay and Les Snead at their press conference with Cooks both pounded the table for how strong of a character Cooks brings, and how good of a person he is. And they've received rave reviews from everyone they've talked to, from the Saints, the Patriots, back at his college at Oregon State. Sean Mannion obviously played with him. Johnny Hecker is also from Oregon State, though I don't think they played together at the same time. But so Cooks, you can tell during his press conference, very well spoken, very insightful. He's going to be someone who takes full hold of the playbook and really just has a good grasp on an NFL offense, and can obviously he's played in multiple, so it's done. He's done a good job in the NFL with the Patriots and with the Saints. Obviously, his best asset is his speed. He ran a 4.33 at the combine in the 40-yard dash, so he does have really, really good speed for the wide receiver position, and that's something that the Rams are definitely going to try to utilize as a downfield threat, as someone who can kind of stretch the defense and blow the top off of it. That's something that Watkins did a lot last year, and it's something that McVay really praised for his ability to draw extra coverage and open up things for Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and Todd Gurley underneath. But Cooks is he's arguably even a better deep threat than Watkins was. He had of every wide receiver in the NFL last season, he had the largest percentage of his yards come on deep passes downfield. So that just goes to show kind of how reliant the Patriots were on his speed as far as completing passes downfield and allowing him to separate from coverage with his speed. So that's something that Sean McVay is definitely going to try to utilize next season as he tries to further develop Jared Goff as an NFL passer, not just kind of dinking and dunking underneath, but rather taking chances downfield and really stretching the offense. As far as how much I like this trade for the Rams, I'm not really sure I'm in love with it. Giving up a first-round pick for a player entering the final year of his contract, similar to the way that Watkins was last year, I don't really think it's the best approach. But the Rams obviously feel confident that they're going to be able to get a deal done with Cooks, keep him around for the long term, and really make him a focal point of this offense as he grows with Jared Goff and Todd Gurley, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Gerald Everett, and really give them a nice core of offensive playmakers on that side of the ball. So I don't really love the fact that they gave up a first rounder, especially with so many needs on defense, at linebacker, inside and outside. Obviously, they get a fourth round pick back in return, which basically means they move up from the sixth to the fourth this year. But it still doesn't really make it a wildly favorable deal the way that the Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib trades were. We'll see how it works out and whether they can sign him to a long-term contract. If they do that before the season begins, then I like the trade a lot better than I do it without them signing him to a long-term contract. But as of right now, I'd give it a B. I'd give it a B minus as far as trade grades go. Like I said, it's going to come down to whether they can sign him long term, and if they can, then it looks like a better deal. It also depends on who they could have gotten in the first round. If someone like Harold Landry or Rashawn Evans or Trumaine John or not Trumaine Johnson, excuse me, Tremaine Edmonds drops to number 23, then I think the Rams are going to have not necessarily buyer's remorse, but I think they would almost rather have had one of those players than Cooks, maybe. Especially given their holes on defense at that position. But we're a little bit ways out from finding out how this trade works out, but that's definitely just something to watch. As far as Vegas, how they view the trade, they obviously like it for the Rams. I don't remember which bookmaker it was, but I think it was Bovada. They released Super Bowl odds last week after the Brandon Cooks trade, and they currently have the Rams with the third best odds in the NFL to win Super Bowl 53 next year. That's some pretty high praise for a team that has gone from bottom feeders last year, where you didn't really expect them to do much with a first-year head coach, a second-year quarterback who struggled as a rookie, all the way down to now where they have the third best odds to win the Super Bowl. They're tied with the Vikings and they're only behind the Eagles and Patriots. So that's a huge jump for a team like that, a young team with a good core. They do have some questions to answer as far as contracts go with those young players, but they've quickly risen in the NFC and in the NFL overall. Their odds jumped a little bit from the Cooks trade, not as much as some might have thought, but it definitely did help their chances as they went from 12 to 1 after signing Ndamukong Suh to 9 to 1 after the Cooks trade. So they have a great chance to win the Super Bowl next year, and it's really exciting for Rams Nation and all of Los Angeles because they do have a team that's competitive and can contend every year from now on. That's a testament to really the job that Les Snead and Sean McVay have done together in the past year or so with acquiring free agents like Ndamukong Suh, trading for guys like Brandon Cooks, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, having the wherewithal and the willingness to trade guys like Alec Ogletree and Robert Quinn, who even though they just signed Ogletree, I didn't really like the trade because of that contract. They do take on a lot of dead money, but they did have the self-awareness to know that that deal wasn't the best contract they could have done, and they got themselves out of it by trading him for a fourth-round pick, basically. So it's really shocking to see how quickly the Rams have risen to Super Bowl contenders, but it is definitely fun to watch. And now they do have the NFL draft still where they can build even further. Obviously, they don't have a first or second round pick, but they do have the draft where they can bolster the defense a little bit more because the offense, as of now, I would say is pretty much set. You're not going to really draft a player who's going to come in and start from day one, be it on the defensive line, the wide receiver position. You're not going to find someone in the draft who's going to come in and start from day one. Both of those units are really strong. Jamon Brown is obviously the weak link on that side of the football, but you have a really great receiving core. You have Todd Gurley running the football. Jared Goff is obviously going to be the starter for hopefully a long time. So you're not going to draft someone on offense in the third or fourth round who's going to really come in and start unless they do move on from Jamon Brown, which I think would be a little bit surprising. So they'll most likely look at linebacker and really edge rusher if you want to separate that from the linebacker position. They have gaping holes at both spots after trading away Ogletree and Quinn. Connor Barwin looks like he's not going to return. So with Mark Barron being the only guy who's going to hopefully be there next season, as far as returning starters go, you're going to be looking at three new starters at linebacker. There's still a chance that they could release Mark Barron or try to trade him, but right now you're looking at three new starters at linebacker, both inside and outside. Samson Ebukam is a guy who could start at one side of the outside linebacker position. Carlos Thompson is someone who can compete possibly. Inside, you have Ronnick Wilson, who the Rams signed in free agency, and Corey Littleton, who's a younger linebacker coming off of a nice season on special teams and defense last year. But they're not exactly proven players who can hold up well against the run, against the pass, as three down linebackers. I think that's kind of where they're going to look initially. As far as their draft picks go, they have one in the third round, they have three in round four, and then four picks in the sixth round. So really the majority of their selections come in the middle portion of the draft. They don't have any seventh rounders, no first or second rounders, and then none in the fifth round. So it's difficult to kind of gauge where they're going to look. You don't really know what players are going to be available in the third round. At number 87, when the Rams do go on the clock, there's obviously a chance that they're going to move around a little bit more, whether they try to package some of those fourth rounders and move up into the second round, possibly with that third round pick, if there is a player that they like and they want to target. But as of now, they do have four picks in the top 100, but or the four picks, excuse me, in the first four rounds, but all of them are in rounds three and four, so that's not exactly ideal. But we're gonna see, like Les Snead likes to do. He likes to package picks and trades, whether it's for players or moving down in the draft to acquire more picks. So that's always a possibility. It's like I said, they're probably going to target a linebacker at that third round pick. I think that's obviously their best chance of landing someone who can start right away. You don't need a line. You don't need a cornerback. You don't need a nose tackle anymore after signing Dominican Sue. The safety position is pretty much set as long as Joyner is there for the long haul. So it's really going to come down to inside and outside linebacker. They need to find starters there. They didn't find any in free agency, really, unless you include Ramic Wilson. So that's really their biggest and only need as of not necessarily their only need, but their only pressing need. They can get by with their offensive line, even though it looks murky beyond this season. They can get by with it next year. So that's not really a huge need. So it's going to come down to linebacker, I think, with those first few picks. Moving on to Dominican Sue's contract. Like I said, in a few posts for Rams Wire, the latest of which you can find on there now, it's a 1 year deal worth $14 million. That came out relatively soon after the contract was signed, but it wasn't exactly clear how much of that was guaranteed or how the contract would work. But Field Yates shared a little bit of insight on that deal on Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday, I believe, where it's a $14 million fully guaranteed contract. So all of it is going to be paid out this year. His cap hit is $14.5 million in 2018, which is a large amount. It's the biggest on the roster right now, and he has the chance to earn even more through incentives and really playing time bonuses and team performance incentives. So if he plays 65% of the team's defensive snaps, which I would assume he's going to, barring injury. Aaron Donald did that. He played somewhere in the 75 range, 75% range last season, and he even missed two games. So you can pretty much bank on the fact that Sue is going to play 65% of the snaps, and then the other incentives come with playoff wins. So if the Rams make the playoffs, he earns $500,000. If they win one game, this coincides with him playing 65% of the snaps, which I'm assuming is a given. So if they win one playoff game, he earns $750,000 in incentives, and if they win two playoff games, he gets that full $1 million. Winning two playoff games is obviously difficult. The Rams didn't win a single one last year, but they're a team who really looks like a Super Bowl favorite and contender. So winning two playoff games, assuming that they win the NFC West, potentially get a first round bye. Winning two playoff games, if they do get a first round bye, would put them in the Super Bowl. So anytime you can win two postseason games, you're going to go pretty deep into the playoffs and at least reach the conference championship, which would be a huge step in the right direction for the Rams. So they're hoping that they can really take that jump, and Dominican Sue alluded to it during his press conference, and said that he hopes he can really elevate this team and turn them into Super Bowl contenders right away. So his fit, it was a bit surprising to see him, not surprising to see him choose the Rams over the Titans and the Saints, but given that they play a 3-4 defense, given the fact that they probably offered less money than any other team, the Jets reportedly had the highest offer on the table, but to see him sign with the Rams and prioritize winning, it was good to see because he's joining a team that is young. They have a great offense. The defense is rebuilt and retooled this year. So there's a lot to be excited about in Los Angeles, and he's gonna add to that. He can play any position on the defensive line. Sean McVay said he's going to play nose tackle in the base defense, so he's going to be slotted between Aaron Donald and Michael Brockers. I don't really view that as his best position. I think Brockers might be a little bit better suited to play the nose with Sue on the edge a little bit more. But you can rest assured that Wade Phillips is going to play him all across the defensive line. Phillips said that he's going to try to exploit matchups on opposing offensive lines where if someone's weak at offensive tackle or at guard, he's going to put guys like Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue at those positions where they can really attack, wreck havoc in the backfield and cause some commotion for quarterbacks who are looking to have a clean pocket. So it's going to be fun to watch those training camp battles with Sue going up against the offensive line with Donald next to him, Brockers on the edge. So there's going to be some really, really good battles, and it's going to be fun to watch throughout this offseason. Another big move that the Rams did make last week was releasing Kayvon Webster. That's something that I've talked about a little bit throughout this offseason, given his contract situation, his Achilles, as unfortunate as that was, it really did make him almost expendable. And you're led to believe that the Rams knew he either wasn't going to have a huge impact next season or he was simply going to be he was going to come back too late in the year where he's not going to be able to contribute regularly. Obviously, he did have a nice first season with the Rams last year where he played, I think, 11 games. He really got his hands on a lot of footballs and batted down a lot of passes. But with Marcus Peters, Talib, and Sam Shields coming in, they retained Nickell Robey-Coleman. So the secondary looks really good right now. And even without Webster, it's one of the best units in football. So they viewed him as expendable. They didn't think that he would really contribute much. And by releasing him, they saved $3.5 million on the cap and they only take in $500,000 in dead money. So it was a smart move where you're avoiding paying a player almost $4 million to sit on injured reserve all year. That's not the best financial decision. And as difficult as that was, Sean McVay said it was. He felt bad for his family and for all that really they've put the Webster family through by releasing him. It is a business, and it came down to it was nothing personal. It just came down to the numbers, and with the Rams making so many trades and signings, they needed the cap space, and Kayvon Webster wasn't someone who's going to contribute a lot next season, so they cut ties. Webster did thank the Rams on Instagram with a nice post, thanking them for giving him a chance. But on Twitter a little bit later, he did post something a little bit snarky where he said, released after two surgeries, with a little smiley face. So obviously, he wasn't thrilled with being released by a team after he had just undergone surgeries on his Achilles and his shoulder. The Rams released him with a failed physical designation. So it is what it is, but the Rams needed to make that move to kind of free up some space to get their rookie class under contract. They're looking to sign Donald to a long-term deal. So again, it was nothing personal on their end. They just needed the money. As far as their cap situation goes, after all of these moves, like I said before, it's not great. They have the least amount of cap space in the NFL right now. Not taking into account their Johnny Hecker restructure, they do have the least amount of available money in the NFL right now with $457,000, according to overthecap.com. Field Yates said that they did restructure Johnny Hecker's contract on Wednesday. So that's going to free up another oh, close to $1 million. So you're looking at almost $1.5 million in cap space, which even still is the least in the NFL, behind the Eagles, the Falcons, and the Steelers. So it with Aaron Donald still yet to be paid, it's difficult to kind of figure out how they're gonna budget that deal into the salary cap. Les Snead has said multiple times that none of these moves, signing Sue and trading for Cooks and all of the trades that the Rams have made, none of it affects Aaron Donald. He said they've already budgeted his contract into the salary cap. They know that they can fit it under there. So it's difficult to see how that's going to work with less than $1.5 million in cap space. But his contract is going to have to be backloaded. They're going to have to, right now his salary cap hit is almost $7 million. So if they can keep that number where it is and then kind of backload the contract and push his base salary up later in the deal, that'll really help them right now. Like I said, they have a ton of space in 2019 and 2020. So ideally they would like to push most of that money that they're going to sign Donald to for that contract into next year and the following years. As of now, he looks like he's going to be the highest paid defender in the NFL. Les Snead casually brought that up on a podcast with Peter King of the MMQB, and he said Sue is playing next to a guy who is quote unquote on the verge of becoming the highest paid defensive player. So the Rams know that he's going to become the richest defender in the NFL. It's just a matter of when. Ideally, they would like to get that done this offseason, I would assume. They don't want to kind of play the game of tag where they franchise tag him in 2019, possibly do it again in 2020. It's just not something that ever helps a relationship between a team and its player. Obviously, you're going to have guys like Todd Gurley who are going to become free agents, along with Marcus Peters. Joyner is going to be a free agent next year. So there are a lot of players who they're going to have to pay relatively soon. And Donald is the highest priority of them all, I would guess. He's arguably the best player of any position in the NFL, and you don't let players like that get away. So, like Les Snead said, they've already budgeted for it, and they know that they can get a deal done. It's just a little bit surprising that it's taken this long. Khalil Mack got his money. Excuse me. He wants to get his money. Von Miller got paid. Sue obviously signed that 6-year, $114 million deal. Really, the Rams just have to get it done. There's no way around it. They can't beat around the bush and play these games with Donald. They need to just sign him and get the deal done and not have to worry about questions about it for the foreseeable future. He deserves all the money he's going to earn, and they just have to find a way to make the deal work with this year's salary cap and things like that. A few moves that they can make to free up some space is they can continue to restructure contracts like they did with Hecker. They can push signing bonuses or convert base salaries into signing bonuses, where if you do that for guys like Michael Brockers and Andrew Whitworth, you're going to free up almost $4.5 million, more than $4.5 million each. They can do that with Robert Woods, who would free up another $6 million. So there is money to be had there. It's just a matter of whether the Rams want to really restructure and push that money back into the coming years. Considering how much cap space they do have next year and the year after, it would seem like that'd be a wise move. But restructuring isn't exactly the best way to go about doing that. Another option would be to sign LaMarcus Joyner and Brandon Cooks to long-term deals. That would potentially lower their cap hits this season. Joyner is making more than $11 million on the franchise tag. So if they can lower that number to say $8 or $9 million, that would free up a little bit of cap space. And the same goes for Cooks, who's making $8.5 million next season. Like I said a couple times, Mark Barron is someone who could get released. I don't really know if that's going to happen anymore because of how thin the Rams are at inside linebacker. And even though he's not the best fit, it's hard to see them going into next season with four new starters at linebacker, inside and outside. That's just not something that you really want to do. Even as good as the defensive line is, that amount of turnover at one position is a little bit difficult to fathom. So I kind of expect him to be on the roster this season because I think they would have probably made that move already if they were planning to. And just a couple other things, a little couple tidbits. The Rams draft hat dropped on Tuesday. New Era released pictures of it. You can find it on Twitter. We did a post at the Rams Wire, so you can check it out. It says Mob Squad on the front. That's something that New Era was doing with every team. They're putting kind of team slogans and things like that on the front of the cap, as well as under the brim on the fabric band. It looks a little bit weird. I'm not a fan of them. I really don't understand some of them. Carolina Panthers was two states, one team. That just I don't know why you'd want that on the front of your hat. So I don't really get them. The Rams won't have to hand out a draft hat on draft night, which is kind of fortunate for whichever rookie they take. There's unless it's Shaquem Griffin, who's there in the third round, really. Not many of the players in attendance are going to be around in the third round. So don't expect to see the Rams hand out one of those draft hats on draft weekend in Dallas on April 26th to the 28th. I don't really see them giving out a hat, but who knows if it is someone like Shaquem Griffin. And then in free agency, Les Snead said that the Rams are likely done because they want to preserve their compensatory picks that they're going to receive. He expects to get a third rounder for both Sammy Watkins and Trumaine Johnson next year. That's something that they really factored into the decision to trade for Sammy Watkins and then ultimately let him leave. So don't expect the Rams to sign anyone like Navarro Bowman, Junior Gallette. Those aren't guys who are going to be coming to Los Angeles. As good as they are and as much as they would help, I just don't see it in the cards right now for them. So don't expect to see them make any more signings in the coming weeks or months. And then Tavon Austin, just a little nugget on him. Sean McVay said he wants to develop Austin as really a full-time receiver rather than an offensive weapon. Most of his plays came out of the backfield last season, and he wasn't a traditional receiver. But given that the Rams are set at running back with Todd Gurley and Malcolm Brown's coming back, they really want to see what they can get out of Tavon Austin after paying him $5 million this season already. So releasing him would essentially not do anything for the salary cap besides preventing them from having to pay $3 million in incentives that he could potentially earn. So he's obviously not the best player on the team. He contributed very little last season, but it's obvious that the Rams do see a little bit in him. And with Sean McVay being such an offensive mind, it'd be nice to see him contribute and really develop into the receiver that the Rams thought he would be when they drafted him in the first round a few years ago. So hopefully he can do something next season and prove the doubters wrong. I don't really know if it's going to happen given their depth at receiver and running back, but you really never know. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Rams Wire podcast. Hopefully we'll be back next week or the week after, depending on kind of what happens with the Rams and what news comes down. But at the very least, we'll keep you updated on all draft prospects that the Rams might be interested in leading up to the draft and any moves that they might make. Who knows? Maybe they'll trade for Von Miller next. But stay locked into the ramswire.usatoday.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Cam DeSilva. I'll be posting a lot of the articles there. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you guys next time.